this morning to each one of you. It's good to see each one here. I want to say welcome to the visitors. We're glad you're here with us. Our desire today as we come together and meet together to worship, that we would be able to be encouraged to walk and to glorify God in our life. Who remembers what I talked about last time?
Value of the soul.
Okay, value of the soul, Christian. I was going to say, I looked around because Dylan's not here, so I was safe because I know Dylan did. This week, I was driving along and my phone dinged. I got a message from Dylan and he sent me a picture. And he said, I think of it every time I see one. And he sent me a picture of a Kia Soul driving down the road. And it actually blessed me because I actually heard a statement one time, and it was actually a negative statement about the car when they first came out, and it said now somebody can have a soul. And they put a person's name in there, and it was a negative towards that person. And I like this a whole lot better. As I drive down the road, and it reminds me different times, I drive down the road, I see a Kia Soul, and it reminds you, it's like, we have a soul, and it's like, what am I doing? And so, wow, it's a $28,000 reminder, I guess you would say. But for those of you that weren't here last time, the scripture came out of Matthew 16, verse 26. It says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" And there was four headings that came out of that. The first one was, first of all, if you're going to exchange something, then you have to know the values of both sides to see if it's worth a swap. And so the value of your soul. What is the value of your soul? We talked about that last time. And then the second was your soul could be lost. And if a soul was to be lost, it would be of utmost loss because it's the only loss that you cannot recover from. And today, the other two today we'll be looking at is, on the flip side of loss, is your soul can be saved. How do I save my soul? And then the last one will be to guard your soul. I'm going to read Matthew 16, verse 24 to 28 again, just to get the context. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." If we look at it, and back in verse 25, it says, "For he who will save his life." If you look at the word "save" in the Greek, it says to deliver or to protect. And then the opposite of that is lose. And the Greek says to literally or figuratively to destroy or perish. What does that look like in your life, in my life? If you would, turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. This is on the parable of the talents. And it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1, each according to their ability." I'm going to stop right there for a second. Now, does anybody know what size a talent is? How big a talent is? How big, how much it weighs? Anybody have any idea? Or how much it's worth. Does anybody have an idea what a talent might be worth? Okay. From studies of what they study, and from what the footnotes in mine as well, a talent, they said, would be worth, I forget how many denarii it was, but it would be somewhere equivalent to about 20 years worth of wage for the person that just a standard standard wage. So again, I went to Google. I was like, well, what does the average American make? How much money is this? The average American wage is $51,480. That's the average. Which would put the figure, if this is correct, somewhere around $1,029,000 per talent. So gives a little perspective maybe on the amount of money that was being left entrusted into these different servants. And by the way, the weight doesn't have anything to do with it, but somewhere the weight of the talent is somewhere around 75 pounds. If some scholars would say it was 100 pound because there's somewhere it's mentioned about it being 100 weight, but most people would refer to it as about 75 pounds. So that was just a side note. It's kind of interesting because I said something to Janice and she said, my goodness, that's big hailstones in Revelation. If you go to Revelation 16, it talks about the hailstones and they were the size of a talent. So, but that's not with this here. That was a bunny trail we're going on. But it was interesting. It was intriguing to me. But somewhere, we would say somewhere talent would be somewhere around $1 million. So let's go back to verse 15 again. To one, he gave 5 million. To another 2 million, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and made 5 talents more. He also who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who received the 1 talent went, dug in the ground, and hid his money, his master's money. Going to stop there for just a second. Each one had an ability. It says he gave each according to his ability. They all knew what to do with it. They all had the ability to do something with it. They all had something to work with. And every one of them had a choice. It was a common practice in those days that if you had something valuable, a pretty good place to put it was bury it in the ground and hide it. It was a fairly safe place. Now, I don't know many people around here that would bury your treasures anymore. I don't know if you had $1 million, would you stick it in the freezer? Would you stick it in your safe? Maybe in the bank. Where would you put it? But each one had the ability to do something with it, and they each had a choice. And we see the different choices that they made. I know Dale keeps talking about going on an extended vacation. So Kevin, I wonder when Dale hands you the $5 million and he leaves, what are you going to do with that money? Then again, you might just take it as an inheritance, so maybe that's not a fair one. But in the first two here, we saw an urgency. It says they went quicker. Here it says they went at once. In some versions that you would read, it says they went quickly. They went out, and they did something with it. While the second one dug a hole and buried it. It's pretty easy. 2 of them were diligent. It took time. It took effort to get a return. The third person with the 1 talent, he buried it. He didn't have to worry about it. There was no more work involved. It was right there. Now let's read on. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 more. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you have delivered me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we look at the master here. Sounds kind of harsh. And yet, each one, again, had the ability. Each one was given something to work with. I started to show my age as I was thinking over, it said you would have put it in the bank, and I said, well, back when I was young, if you had had, you know, $5 million to put in the bank, you know, at least it would have made a decent little bit of interest, and now you might make a couple cents, but it would still be worth more than what it was. Each one of us has been given by God something to work with and the ability to do something with it. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter 4, verse 10. First Peter 4, verse 10 says, As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. God has given us, each one of us, something to work with. What will we do with it? If you go back to Matthew 16, verse 25, For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever who loses his life for my sake shall find it. In the Amplified it says this, For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. But whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it, that is, life with me in all eternity. What will I do? What will you do with that talent? With what God has given us? Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, it says, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Sometimes you think of a graph, especially if you're looking at investments, and you see this graph and it goes up and then all of a sudden it takes a big drop, and that drop sometimes looks alarming, but as you step back and you look at it, it makes a drop and then it goes back up. And the whole time it's on an upward climb. And sometimes life can feel a little that way. You go through hard times and it makes a drop. And yet when we step back, are we making that continual climb? Are we pouring? Are we making that investment? How are we using the ability, the gift that God has given us? We have a perfect place, person, to invest our treasure given to us. God, as we trust Him and allow Him to take our lives and use them in whatever place that would bring glory to Him, totally surrendering our will to His. Now, I don't know, when you're talking about investments, I don't know all the perfect companies to put money in and all that. And yet, you'll take and you'll find someone and that does that, and they keep track of that, and they're good with that, and you trust them with that money. And I have a little bit of money in an investment, and I give it to him. I'm like, okay, and you just make it work. That's his job, and I trust him with it. And you find somebody that's trustworthy that you can allow them to take that money and to do something with it. And God is that for each one of us. He has given us something, and as we trust our lives back into Him and allow Him to take our life and to point it and to let it to be used, there is no safer place than to trust Him with our lives. And the last part of that verse says, for whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. When we are willing to totally let our lives go and let God point us and use us, no matter what it costs me and what it takes, we will save our soul, our life. Now the last one is to guard your souls. It comes from Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Last night I told Janice that I was studying, and I had the first part done. I said, well, now I have to, now I'm going to study on guard your soul. And she said, what do you need, a German shepherd? And it takes way more than a German shepherd. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. German Shepherd's not big enough to run the lion off. There are not many animals. If you looked at the lion, there's not many animals that the lion is afraid of or that the lion cannot overcome. You remember Junior said last Sunday as he was preaching, he said, Satan has been deceiving for over 6,000 years. He's gotten pretty good at it. He is good at it. You know, I could build a house, but it's not going to look like the one that Dale builds. Experience does a lot. I could put some tile in the shower, but I'm not going to guarantee it like Cameron, Tyler, Grant. I'm not going to guarantee it like them that it isn't going to leak. They can put it in and they're pretty confident. Or I could probably try to dig a ditch, but I'm sure Brian can dig one with his eyes closed. Or I can try to bake some cinnamon rolls, but I can guarantee you they won't taste and look like the ones Sally makes. Somehow, these ladies, they throw a little bit of this in, a little bit of that, they never even measure, and it comes out tasting good, at least most of the times. Experience. As you do it, you get good. And Satan has been deceiving for a long time. Right after creation, he deceived man. How? He did it with a lie laced with partial truth. In our world today, there would be people that say that Christ died, so that's all we need. And while that is a very important truth, Christ did die, and it is very important, it's a partial truth. If we do not surrender our lives to Him, Christ alone dying is not enough. Or today we may be more likely to hear that Christ died and I accepted Him and we're good. And while those are both very good and very necessary, yet that alone is also a partial truth. James 2:14 says, "What good is it, my brother and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Also, in Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Satan is good at partial truth, yet we do not need to be afraid. Just as a lion, there is power that the lions are afraid of. While Satan is powerful, there is a power he cannot touch. We have the power of Christ living in us, and that is strong enough to defeat the powers of Satan. In Proverbs 4, the verses just before the one here that says to guard your heart, says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those that who find them, and health to one's whole body." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13 also says, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." While Satan may be roaring, he is powerless when our trust and our help is in God. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." God has given us the most prized possession, the most valued possession, more valuable than anything else in all the world. That is our soul. What will you do with it? What will I do with it? Will I trust it back to Him, or will I bury it? The man that buried the talent, there was a risk. There's a risk involved if you go out and invest it. By burying it in the ground, it was pretty safe, and yet it did nothing. What will I do? What will you do with your soul? It can be lost by simply neglect or surrender to Satan. This would be the greatest loss that ever could be. It's the only loss that can never be reclaimed. But on the flip side, your life can be saved by surrender to God and trusting in His hands, and allow on Him to take that which He has given to us and to be used to glorify and to bring honor to His name. And last of all, we must always be on guard. It's a great treasure. We must always be on guard. Satan seeks to destroy it, and he would love to destroy it in any way that he can. But we have courage. We can take courage knowing that he has no power to destroy that unless we allow him. We have all power through Christ and by him, by allowing him to guide our lives and to show us how he would have us to live. It's through that that our soul can be saved. So, as we go through life, as you see that little Kia soul riding down the road beside you, think of it. I have a soul. It's a $28,000 reminder riding down the road for me and for you. What am I going to do with it? What am I doing with it today? What will I do with it tomorrow? Am I investing or am I hiding it? May we be encouraged to invest, to allow our lives to be invested, that we can bring glory and honor to God. All right, Brian, do you have a 296 in the hymnary? You can stand. All right, let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your love to us. And God, we thank you that you, for the great treasure you have given, entrusted to us. And God, as we go through life, our desire is that you would help us to invest and to pour that out in whichever way you would have it. And God, I pray that you would direct us as we go through life, as we go day by day, that we would be able to pour out and to let our lives be used, to be a light and to shine, that your name may be glorified. And God, I just thank you again today for the privilege of being able to just worship again together without being persecuted. And God, I just pray that this week, for each one, as we go from here, that we'd be encouraged to just live our lives, to surrender our lives to you, and to live our lives to glorify you. And I just pray that you would be with each one of us as we go through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.